The gospel reading our Lord tells us about the sower going out to sow, and we know from his explanation that that is the word of God. So the word of God has been implanted into the hearts of each and every one of us. The question is, do we listen? Do we believe? Do we trust? We'd all, of course, very quickly like to say yes, but then all we have to do is look at the first reading and ask ourselves, what would we do? These people are out in the desert. They have nothing to eat. They have nothing to drink. It's hot. It's dry. What do? Act just like us. They whine and they complain. Rather than praying, rather than trusting, why did you bring us out of the desert to die? Would that we were back in Egypt. Oh, it would be so wonderful to be slaves, wouldn't it? But at least in Egypt, we were slaves, but we had some food. Like, really? You just saw the 10 plagues. God opened the Red Sea. You walked right through it. But will we trust him? Oh, no, because we're hungry. So we're going to whine and complain. Human nature hasn't changed in 3,500 years, has it? Because we do the same stupid stuff. Now, we also have to look at all these different points that are there, because there are a few things that we need to recognize. People keep trying to find ways of explaining all of this. Like, for instance, well, they were where the people were encamped there, it's the migration route for some of the birds. So you've got all these quail that are going to be landing there. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Until you stop to think about the fact that this happened for a month and there were 600,000, well, actually there were 600,000 soldiers, so there are 1.5 million people. You're going to tell me that 1.5 million quail every day landed there? Well, maybe. I have my doubts. I don't know if there are that many quail out there that are going to be doing that. But the bread is the one that's even more amazing. There's a certain kind of tree that will grow in the desert. It's an acacia tree. It's a bit of a pine tree. And when the wind blows, it's like a bit of a sandstorm, I guess you could say, and the tree gets sandblasted. And from the needles, there's this sap that will drip out of it. Okay? And they say, well, maybe that was the manna. Like, really? There's one tree growing out here, and 1.5 million people ate from the little bit that would have fallen out of the needles. Boy, does that make sense. How about God took care of them? God fed them in extraordinary ways. They didn't understand. I mean, you got to recognize, you know, we hear about the manna all the time. We talk about it, but it's right there. We don't see it in English. It says, on seeing this, the children of Israel asked one another, what is this? You know what the word what is this is? Manna. That's what they did. Huh, manna, what is it? That's how it got its name. They didn't know what it was. So they just called it by what they asked. So we continue to do the same. They didn't know. But God provided all of this. I've told you before, there was an army quartermaster who had figured this out. He's the one who has to provide for all the troops. He said, for that many people, it would take a train, putting it in modern terms, a train that is 1 mile long with all the cars filled from top to bottom and front to back. That's how much food it would take to feed that many people, 3 times a day, by the way. Yeah. So it's a migration route, and some stuff fell on the ground from a tree that got sandblasted. No, it is the Lord. God has planted his word in your heart. What's it doing there? Is it growing? Is it producing fruit? Do we trust him? Do we believe him? We have seen extraordinary things. We have heard about all these extraordinary things. And yet, what do? We grumble, we complain, we whine. We do all the same stuff. We don't trust him. And so again, we have to ask, what's that word doing in us? Is it being choked off? Is it just being eaten up because it doesn't have any roots? Is it scorched because there's nothing there? Or is it actually growing and bearing fruit? By that bearing fruit at this point, it has to begin with the point of trusting and believing. That's where the rubber meets the road for us. I've challenged you with this many times, and I will continue to do so. We can say that we believe in our heads. Do I believe everything that's in the catechism? Yep. No problem. I can give intellectual assent to all of that. Do I let it into my heart? That's a whole different matter. So we believe, but we don't really trust him. And we don't allow that faith to get into our hearts. We just keep it in our heads. And so we don't put it into practice the way that we ought. And how do we know? Because when things come up, we grumble and we complain and we whine against the Lord. We're just like the people in Israel. So we can look at that in our own lives. We can be pretty assured our situation is nothing compared to these people. They're out in the desert with the sun beating down on them. When I crossed the border from Israel into Egypt in the Sinai Desert, it was around noontime. It was 110 degrees. And the sun is beating straight down on you, and there is not a tree to be found. There is nothing to stop the sun. And it's sand as far as the eye can see. Putting it into Minnesota terms, it's like the middle of January, and all you can see is snow as far as you can see. There's nothing that's going to stop the cold. This is just the opposite. There's nothing stopping the heat. There's nothing stopping the sun. They had nothing. They're wandering around out in the desert. That'd be a pretty miserable existence. I point that out to simply say, with all of our modern conveniences and all the ease of life, we still whine and complain. We still don't trust the Lord. We still refuse to put into practice what we claim that we believe. So there's a great challenge for us. Let's get this stuff out of our heads and into our hearts. Keep it in your head, yes. You have to continue to believe. But it is the religious assent of mind and heart, not just of mind. The mind and the heart. So we need to embrace it. We need to live it. And we need, therefore, how are you going to know you're doing that? You're going to trust the Lord. You're going to live a moral life. You're going to be living a good, holy way. You're going to be rooted in prayer. And you're going to trust. And when the different things come up, you're not going to whine and complain. You're just going to say, I don't know how God's going to do this, but he is. We'll trust him. If he can open the Red Sea, if he can feed 1.5 million people every day for 40 years, he can handle my little broken toenail or whatever it happens to be. God can deal with it if we will trust him. And we have our part to do, so I'm not trying to suggest being quietus, but do our part and trust in the Lord. And when that happens, there will be interior peace. And no matter what happens to us, no matter what happens around us, we stay at peace because our focus is on him and our trust is in him.